It's an honor to participate with you in this event, and I wish more people around the world could see this. They'd have a better opinion of people in the United States. Obviously, we're going through a dark period in our history, but it's so important to keep the truth alive and to keep going forward no matter what is going on around us. You know, it's late. Could go on talking about the global economy and what we found in different countries, but I think I'm going to truncate this. We have a free trade agreement with Jordan, the United States. They say it's a model free trade agreement. It was signed into law in December of 2001. Under the U.S. free trade agreement, apparel exports from Jordan to the United States grew by 20-fold, from $52 million to $1.1 billion. The garments are entering the United States duty-free. One night in our office, the fax rang very late, 9, 10 o'clock on a Friday night. Barbara and I were there. And we walked over to the fax, and we looked. It was a handwritten fax, very poorly written in English, because it was actually a Bangladesh worker writing us a fax in broken English saying, please help us. We're being treated like slaves. We're being beaten. We're forced to work around the clock. And a young girl just killed herself because she was raped by a manager. She went into the bathroom and hung herself. Now, this is the Jordan-U.S. Free Trade Agreement. We went to investigate. We went to Jordan several times. We found out that the clothing that's sent to the United States duty-free is made by slave labor. It's made by guest workers who are trafficked. This is human trafficking. They're trafficked from Bangladesh to Jordan, China to Jordan, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Pakistan, India, and they're locked in factories. They're beaten. In one factory called Al Shaheed that made clothing for Walmart, they were working 16 hours a day, 24-hour shifts, 38-hour shifts, 72-hour shifts. We've never heard anything like this. 3 days in a row. And there were guards in the factory with sticks, and when the workers would fall asleep, they'd beat them with the sticks. At the end of a 72-hour shift, they gave the worker a little tiny half sandwich in his hand. And the worker said to the boss, it's too little. We can't work and eat so little. And the boss took his belt off and beat the worker. They brought gang members in. If the workers would turn their faces to either side, the owners would come in and slap them, punch them in the face, for dare turning their head away from their sewing machine. 115 people were in a tiny four-room house sleeping on the ground. There was no beds. There was no water 4 or 5 days a week. The stench out of the bathrooms is unbelievable. In the factories, there's no toilet paper, no soap, no towels. The workers are routinely beaten, and they're fed miserable morsels of food. This is a free trade agreement under the Bush administration. This is going on in broad daylight for 5 years. Well, we began our investigation, and we issued it last week, and I'm glad to say the Times covered it. We put out our report last week. We were in Washington Tuesday and Wednesday, and the administration's very nervous. So the State Department wanted to meet, the Labor Department wanted to meet, the Human Trafficking Department wanted to meet, the U.S. Trade Representative wanted to meet, and on and on and on. Met with the ambassador to Jordan. I think this is going to be one. So it'll be actually a very positive story. But in the spirit of what you're doing in Nicaragua, since we're in Washington with one of the workers from Bangladesh who was in Jordan, held as an indentured servant in Jordan, making clothing for Walmart, is Mr. Saful. And maybe he'd come up and say a few words, and then I want to just come back and bring this back to Central America. Mr. Saful worked in the Western factory making these fleece jackets for Walmart. We just came from Walmart right now. We stopped on the way so he could see what it looked like, where he was making clothing for. Mr. Saful is a manager. He's worked 18 years in the apparel industry. He was tricked into being trafficked to Jordan, where he was forced to work 109 hours a week without wages. This is what's going on. This is what's going on with the U.S. corporations all around the world. And Rafiq is a labor rights expert in Bangladesh. He'll translate. And, you know, we'll go fast and then we'll wrap us up because we know it's late.
শুধু ভদ্র মহিলা ও ভদ্র মহোদয়গণ, শুভ সন্ধ্যা। আপনাদের সামনে এতক্ষণ মিস্টার চার্লি যা বলল তাই সবই সত্যি।
গুড ইভিনিং, হোয়াট অ্যাকচুয়ালি চার্লি ডিসক্রাইবড ইজ ফুললি ট্রু ইন জর্ডান।
আমি বাংলাদেশের একটি পত্রিকায় যখন দেখতে পারলাম জর্ডানে কিছু শ্রমিক নিয়োগ করবে,
When I saw an advertisement in Bangladeshi newspaper for garment job opportunities in Jordan,
তখন আমি ওখানে অ্যাপ্লিকেশন করলাম এবং ওখানে ইন্টারভিউতে টিকলাম,
And then apply for the position as a production manager, and I was succeeded in the interview and I was decided to work in Jordan.
তখন আমার সাথে কিছু চুক্তি নামা হয়,
And there was an agreement with me in Bangladesh.
মাসে $800 বেতন দিবে এবং থাকা খাওয়া ফ্রি, মেডিকেল ফ্রি এবং আট থেকে দশ ঘন্টা করে কাজ করবে।
দ্য কন্ট্রাক্টর টোল্ড মি দ্যাট আই উইল বি গিভেন অ্যাকোমোডেশন ইন্টারলি ফ্রি, ফুডিং ফ্রি, মেডিকেল ট্রিটমেন্ট ফ্রি, ট্রান্সপোর্টেশন ফ্রি উইথ $800 এ মান্থ এজ এ মান্থলি স্যালারি।
এবং ওখানে যাওয়ার পরে যে পরিস্থিতিগুলি শিকার হলাম তার নিম্নরূপ বর্ণনা করতেছি আমি।
Now I will describe the situation that I faced while I was in Jordan.
Jordan airport e jawar pore amar thike passport ta niye fello.
So when we reached the Jordan airport, the company management confiscated our passports.
Ebon tar pore amake factory te jekhane kaaj korbo okhane niye jawa holo, okhan thike abar ami jekhane thakbo okhane amake niye jawa holo.
Then they took us in our factory and they actually I was given the contract that I will be given a room, but they put me in a big room where around 40 workers live.
ওখানে আমাকে ছোট্ট একটা রুমের মধ্যে ওয়ার্কারের সাথে আমার 10 জনকে একসাথে থাকতে দিল, যার ভিতরে কোনো দরজা জানালা কিছুই নেই।
So the room where I live, there was no window.
কোন দরজা জানালা ছিল না এবং ওখানে কোনো আলো বাতাস ঢুকতো না এবং টয়লেটের কোনো ব্যবস্থা ছিল না।
So there was very little light, there was no toilet, no water in the toilet, there was no soap, no towel, no toilet paper in the bathroom.
Sokal 8ta theke rat 12ta ekta porjonto ebong majhe modhe rat 4ta porjonto kaaj korte hoyto ebong floor er moddhe ghumate hoyto 3 theke 4 ghonta.
We started working 8 in the morning and most cases 12 at midnight and sometimes till 4 in the morning. We only get 3 hours sleep on the floor and again we had to start 8 in the morning until sometimes 12 at night, sometimes 4 in the following day.
এবং এর মধ্যে তিন বেলা খাবার দেওয়া হয়তো যা অত্যন্ত নিম্নমানের ছিল।
The food that was provided to workers, it was very substandard, it was mostly rotten food.
এবং এই এই খাবার খেয়ে ওয়ার্কার যে টার্গেট দেওয়া হতো এই ফ্লোর ফিলিপস ঘন্টায় 180 থেকে 200 পিস করতে দেওয়া হতো, যা ওয়ার্কারের পক্ষে ফিল আপ করা সম্ভব ছিল না।
সো ওয়ার্কার্স হ্যাড টু মেক 120 পিসেস টু 200 পিসেস অফ দিস ফ্লিস জ্যাকেটস, বাট ইট ওয়াজ ওয়ালমার্ট প্রোডাক্ট, বাট ইট ওয়াজ ভেরি হার্ড টু রিচ দি টার্গেট বিকজ ওয়ার্কার্স মোস্টলি ওয়াজ সিক অফ ফুড।
এবং এখানে ফ্যাক্টরি যেখানে আমরা কাজ করতাম এখানে প্রচণ্ড শীত পড়ত, শীতে প্রত্যেকটা ওয়ার্কার থরথর করে কাঁপত।
সো ইন দ্য উইন্টার ইট ওয়াজ ভেরি কোল্ড, ওয়ার্কার্স ডোন্ট হ্যাভ এনাফ ওয়ার্ম ক্লোদিং অ্যান্ড দ্য ফ্যাক্টরি ডিড নট সুইচ অন দ্য রেডিয়েটর, ইট ওয়াজ ভেরি কোল্ড অ্যান্ড ওয়ার্কার্স শিভার ইন দ্য উইন্টার।
এবং যখন ওয়ার্কাররা টার্গেট ফিল আপ করতে পারতো না তখন মালিক তাদের উপর হাত দিয়ে টর্চারিং করত, অনেক সময় হিট দিত, অনেক সময় ওদেরকে স্যালারি কাটি দেওয়া হইত।
সো মোস্ট কেসেস ওয়ার্কার কুড নট মিট আপ দ্য প্রোডাকশন গোল অর প্রোডাকশন টার্গেট, দেন দ্য সুপারভাইজার্স স্ল্যাপ দেম, হিট দেম, বিট দেম উইথ স্টিক অ্যান্ড রুলার্স।
আমি ওখানে এক বছর কাজ করি, এক বছর কাজ করার মধ্যে আমাকে মাসে $400 করে 4 মাস বেতন দিছে, বাকি 6 মাস আমাকে কোনো বেতন দেওয়া হয় নাই।
I was in Jordan for around 10 months. I was only given 4 months salary, that is half of my contract salary. The rest 6 months, the workers and myself, I was not paid.
আমি তখন ওখানে যখন 6 মাস বেতন পাই নাই আমার পারিবারিক সমস্যা দেখা দিচ্ছে, আমি ওখান থেকে বন্ধু বান্ধব থেকে টাকা নিয়ে বাংলাদেশে ফিরে চলে আসি।
And since I was not getting my pay, I frequently asked my owner to pay back my passport and to give my all dues so that I can go back Bangladesh.
Ebong Bangladeshe eshe Mr. Charlie ebong Barbara sathe sakkhat hoy ederke bistarito bolar pore uni amaderke America appoint kore tokhon amra ekhane ashi amader bistarito somoshya guli amra bolde.
And I keep asking to pay back my passport, but finally they did not give my tickets. There are some Bangladeshi colleagues, I took loan from them to buy my tickets, and after frequent requests, they gave my passport. I was sent back to Bangladesh without having my 6-month wages, dues and other benefits. And Charlie was in Bangladesh, met with many workers who were forcibly returned from Jordan to Bangladesh. And we told their story, please help the Bangladeshi poor workers to have our basic rights.
আমার জীবনের অভিজ্ঞতাগুলি আপনাদেরকে বলতে পারি, নিজেকে অনেক ধন্য মনে করছি।
সো আই থ্যাংক ইউ ভেরি মাচ গিভিং আস সাম স্পেস টু লিসেন টু আওয়ার স্টোরিজ, সেম স্টোরিজ দেয়ার আর মেনি থাউজেন্ড ওয়ার্কার্স ইন বাংলাদেশ, দে আর ফেসিং লাইক এ স্লেভ ইন জর্ডান।
থ্যাংক ইউ ভেরি মাচ
There actually, this is in human trafficking and indentured involuntary servitude, because in Bangladesh they have to pay for these jobs. So when the ad comes out in the newspaper, it says you can get a job in Jordan, and they lie, like he said, good housing, 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. You're going to get paid $120 a month, which is 58 cents an hour is the minimum wage. You're going to get overtime premium. You're going to get this, vacation time, sick days. And they have to pay. He had to pay 150,000 taka. You know, they're paying anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000, which is an enormous amount of money in Bangladesh. They're poor. They borrowed on the informal market at 5 to 10% a month interest rates. So the loan doubles, more than doubles in a year. So they go to Jordan, they go off the plane, their passports are grabbed, and they're held as indentured servants, and they're not paid their wages. So they go deeper. They came in good faith. They work. The 40-hour shift has now replaced the 40-hour work week. That's what's happened in the global economy. They worked from 8 in the morning until 12 at night. They would sleep, and then they would work from 8 in the morning to 4 a.m. They were working 40-hour shifts with 3 hours worth of sleep in between without wages. They did this 109 hours a week. They did this for 6 months without one single cent. And he said to the boss, my family's starving. I've got to go back to Bangladesh. And the guy said, get lost. He begged and begged and begged and begged over again. Finally, the owner threw him the passport, but wouldn't give him his ticket to go back to Bangladesh, even though he had just worked 6 months for free. So he had to borrow money from the other poor Bangladesh workers in order to go back to Bangladesh. This is trafficking. So the U.S. Free Trade Agreement turns into human trafficking and involuntary servitude. But we don't hear about it. And the people at the Labor Department in the United States were asleep at the switch. They were comatose, out of it, because they don't care. Well, it looks like there's going to be some breakthroughs on this case. And I just wanted to jump around. It's not just Jordan. This is the global economy. I was digging around a garbage dump in the Dominican Republic. We always do that. Go by the free trade zones, look for garbage at the dumps, because often the companies are not wise enough to shred their documents. And we were digging around the dump, and we found this cost reduction plan. It was really big. This is just one piece of it. This is a cost reduction plan for a U.S. pharmaceutical company called American Home Products at the time. And it's very simple. Their cost reduction plan was to take 14 million units of production out of the United States, out of Lexington, Kentucky, and Puerto Rico, and bring it to a free trade zone in the Dominican Republic. They made small IV sets for hospitals. They estimated that those 14 million units, these are small plastic IV sets, would take about 200,000 hours of what they call free trade zone labor to produce. So you're only talking about 120 jobs, 150 jobs. You know how much they would save by taking those 150 jobs out of the United States? They would save $3.3 million a year annually. So on every single job they take out of the United States, they save $27,500 per job. And I'm pointing this out real quickly, because in the United States right now, every single corporation has this cost reduction plan, and where ciphers on a page that they move around the global economy, just as their ciphers on a page. And until we start learning to work together, we have no rights in this global economy. They tell you they can't raise the prices of their garments. This is a Nike garment. They tell you, you know, if you listen to Nike, you think they're a religious organization. They travel around the world. They're like the Jesuits. They want to help poor people in different countries. And if you know, it sounds admirable until you see the reality of it. In that same garbage dump, we were lucky enough to find Nike's internal pricing documents. They're too stupid to shred it. This is the pricing document for this very garment, this exact garment. When this garment goes offshore, it goes off as a roll of fabric, obviously. So it gets to the Dominican Republic. Nike's going to help these people because they have nimble fingers. But it doesn't just go willy-nilly to the Dominican Republic. It goes with a time motion study, an engineering study. They break the sewing of this garment into 22 operations. There's 5 steps to cut the fabric. There's 11 steps to sew the garment. And there's 6 steps to put the hang tags on, put the labels on, inspect it so that it's ready to hang up in the United States. So in total, there are 22 operations. Do you think Nike breaks the time frames down into minutes? No, it's not like that. They break it down into 1/100th of a second. This is the anatomy of exploitation. Get to the bottom of it. They give the workers 6.6 minutes to make this sweatshirt from beginning to end. You know what that means? 6.6 minutes is 11% of an hour. The wages in the Dominican Republic were 70 cents an hour at the time. 11% of that is 8 cents. This is Nike's own documents. 8 cents of labor to make this sweatshirt. The sweatshirt sells for $22.99. And they get 8 cents to make it. That means the wages come to less than 0.3% of the retail price. What would happen if Nike doubled the wages? Would the whole world fall apart? Corporations go bankrupt? All of us would have to pay $6,000 for a shirt? No, there'd be 16 cents of labor in the shirt. In other words, there's some really nasty things going on, driven by greed. And they get away with it because the American people don't know. We're the largest economy in the world. We should know a lot more. And workers can win victories. We found these Sean Combs shirts made in Honduras. Sean John, PD, I didn't even know who he was. The workers had given us this label when we were in Honduras. Barbara and I were there. And we said to them, God, you've got to give us a real label. You know, if we can only put pressure on major companies, we said. I figured this was some junk that was sold on 14th Street. So we kept saying to them, no, you've got to give us a real label. We have to have real companies. There's nothing you can do with this kind of stuff. And we got back to our office and we showed it to the college interns who were working with us. And they looked at the label and I said, oh, what are you, nuts? They said, this guy's famous. And I still was skeptical. I didn't quite believe them. But this garment was made in Honduras at a factory called Satisa. The workers were forced to work overtime, mandatory overtime. They were working from 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night, 12 hours a day. They were getting paid just 15 cents for every shirt they sewed. There were mandatory pregnancy tests. The bathrooms were locked. The workers were screamed at, hit, pushed, shoved to work faster. And when we showed the workers the price of the shirt, $40 for this, they had to make 57 shirts a day and 283 a week. And yet one shirt was more than they earned in the whole week. They couldn't believe it. They were earning $33 a week. They made 283 of these a week, and yet one shirt cost more than their whole wages. They could not believe it. They were completely stunned. And like I said, we weren't quite sure that this Sean Combs was very famous, like they said he was. Turns out he was. We held a press conference in front of his new store on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, and when we walked up to the press conference, there was like a mob scene in front of the store, and there were television people fighting with each other to get the cameras up in front of the store. We did a press conference. We found out Sean Combs is very famous. The story shot around the world. We were getting calls from Norway, Ireland, Israel. I mean, I never knew this guy was so famous. And so, but in cases like this, we had a young girl from Honduras with us. And sure enough, once we contacted Sean Combs through the press conference, of course, we tried to contact him beforehand, but no one gets back to you. Well, Sean Combs, we met with him in New York City. And that factory today, Satisa, he got the message. That factory today, overtime is voluntary. Workers get paid for their overtime. Workers have health care. The worst supervisors in the factory who beat the workers are now fired. The locks were taken off the bathroom. The workers are treated with respect, and they have a union. And they have health care, which I may have left out. In other words, victories are being won all along the way. They are being won. But in some ways, we can't fight these individual battles over and over and over again. And one of the most absurd things going in this country is that if you look at the label on a garment, the companies aren't stupid. The label's protected by laws, international laws. So this label, the Nike label, the Walmart label, the GE label, you name it, They are protected by laws. The companies have demanded all sorts of enforceable laws backed up by sanctions to defend their products. They said, look, if our trademark's not protected, it'll be a race to the bottom in the global economy. It'll be completely out of control. So the companies have laws, intellectual property and copyright laws, to protect their products, their trademarks, their logos, the swoosh, the Mickey Mouse. Disney saw a daycare center in Miami that had painted an image of Mickey Mouse in a daycare wall. Poor daycare center. Some smart lawyer for Disney saw that Mickey Mouse image and knew that they didn't pay for it. So he marched right in and said, get that off the wall or you're going to be sued. And they had to whitewash it off the wall to please Disney. So Disney has the money and Disney has the rights to protect its label. But when you say to the Disney or to the Nikes and to the Walmarts, that sounds somewhat reasonable. You need these intellectual property and copyright laws. You want a level playing field. Can't we also protect the rights of the six-year-old girl who made that garment? You know what they say? No, that would be an impediment to free trade. So we sit in the largest economy in the world. We're 30% of the global economy. We're a $12 trillion economy. We sit in this economy, and we allow the label to be protected, but not the six-year-old girl who made it, which is completely morally and ethically wrong. It's stupid. There's no reason why they should get away with it. If I was them, I'd be laughing myself silly on the way to the bank. They want us to accept the privatization of human rights. We're going to accept corporate codes of conduct, voluntary corporate codes of conduct, and private monitoring schemes. How nice. They're going to give us that. That's the dead end of human rights. The privatization of human rights is a dead end. They want to send us down that dead end. That's not where we want to go. So we've written a law, which will be introduced in the U.S. Senate next week, called the Decent Working Conditions and Fair Competition Act. It's going to be introduced by Senator Byron Dorgan next week in the U.S. Senate. And for the first time, corporations will be held accountable legally with sanctions to respect human rights in the global economy. This bill is based on a precedent. I don't know if you remember in 2000, a little before that, the Burlington Coat Company was making jackets in China. And for some reason, they were stupidly honest about it. On the label of their jackets, they had nice fur collars, winter jackets. And then the contents, it said dog fur and cat fur. And the American people, of course, went berserk. Whoa, they're killing dogs and cats in China? You've got to be kidding me. This is cruel. It's inhuman. So right away, Congress got a backbone. And they marched in and they passed a law called the Dog and Cat Fur Act of 2000, which prohibited the import or sale of dog fur and cat fur in the United States. So we went to the lawyers we were working with, and we asked them, please rewrite the law. Let's restyle this law. Now that we protect the dogs and cats in China, let's protect human beings in the United States and around the world. So this is the precedent that it's based on. So essentially what the law says is to the U.S. companies, you can bring your products from anywhere in the world. You can make them any way you want. You make them in the United States. You make them in Central America, China. Bring it on. Bring it here. But you're not going to bring those garments or those products into the United States, and you're not going to sell them in the United States if they're made under sweatshop labor, under conditions which violate the core International Labor Organization's labor rights standards, which the United States supposedly upholds. Freedom of association, right to organize, right to collective bargaining, no bonded labor, no child labor, decent working conditions. This is in U.S. law. So this law is going to be introduced. It's not protectionistic. It's not WTO illegal because there's no discrimination against any country. This is targeted against companies. If you're violating the core ILO labor standards, whether it's in Newark or whether it's in Norfolk or whether it's in Nicaragua, these garments are not, or these products, it goes beyond clothing, will not be able to be sold in the United States. You cannot import them. You cannot sell them. We know we had trouble with the Bush administration and many administrations when this Jordan Free Trade Agreement. It taught us we cannot trust what they're going to do. We need to have more power. So in this bill, there's the provision that people in the United States can sue the U.S. government, the relevant agencies, for failing to implement in good faith this trade agreement when it goes through, when it passes. That's in there. So this, of course, the Chamber of Commerce is going to have a heart attack. A lot of people are going to get nervous in the Congress. But you can't build a movement without a vehicle. And we look upon this legislation as a vehicle to go out and to try to help to educate American people. American people are decent. They just don't know what's happening. They think you're going to Walmart to get a bargain. They don't know that bargain is made by workers working 109 hours a week without wages. In his factory, four young girls were raped, one of them 16 years of age. Under a U.S. free trade agreement, then those garments come into the U.S. duty-free. That's not a bargain that we want, but most American people don't know it. We're looking at this legislation to create a vehicle to start a popular education and mass movement. Senator Byron Dorgan from North Dakota has got the guts to introduce it and to stand up for it, and they're looking for co-sponsors. So we think, actually, this can create quite a stir. And then finally, in Jordan, right now, there are tens of thousands of guest workers being held as indentured servants. We think that those workers will be free. We're in negotiations right now. We're demanding that the passports be returned to the workers. We're demanding that the workers be paid their back wages. We're demanding that the workers have the right to organize. We're demanding that the factories be brought up into compliance with Jordanian law and international labor standards, and that the companies pay their back wages. And from this point forward, they're treated like human beings with their rights respected. And for some reason, the administration is quite nervous because they're afraid of bad publicity on this trade agreement, because they want to negotiate future trade agreements. So it's very possible that tens of thousands of guest workers in Jordan are on the verge of winning their rights and winning their back wages, which we estimate would go into the $30, $40, $50 million range. But I think Walmart can afford it. They cheated some of the hardest working people anywhere in the world. The Bangladeshis, the Sri Lankans, they work harder than anybody we've ever met. They work longer and harder, and they're also some of the poorest workers in the world. But the largest companies on the face of the earth, companies like Walmart, cheated those workers. That's blood money, and they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay for damages for raping these young girls. They're going to have to pay hardship. So if anybody wants to be involved in the legislation, we left some cards outside. Of course, this thing will only move if it's picked up by groups like yours and moved by people like yourselves. Otherwise, it just won't go anywhere. But congratulations on everything you're doing. Please keep it up, because, like I said, you go through these dark periods in history. This is one of them in this country. But eventually it's going to turn. And as you pointed out earlier, it's turning in Latin America amongst these governments. But it's our job now, as the largest economy in the world, we have the most powerful voice to set standards in the global economy. It's our job now to take back our economy, which belongs to us every bit as much as the corporations, and remake it with a human face. If you go back to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, we've let the Walmarts of the world throw this thing on the ground and step on it. We signed this as a country. Eleanor Roosevelt pushed this through, that everyone has the right to work and just and fair conditions of work and fair wages. Everyone has the right for ensuring for himself and their family an existence worthy of human dignity. Everyone has the right to form a union and join trade unions for the protection of their interests. Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitation on working hours and periodic holidays. Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself, themselves, and their family. We've taken the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and we've thrown it onto the ground. And we're letting the major corporations and, in many places, our own government step on this thing. So it's really time we take back our economy, remake it with a human face. This country belongs to us every bit as much as it belongs to the corporations. And frankly, we have the power to do it. Only about 2% of the people in the country trust corporations. So, I mean, they understand what's going on, but there's not the vehicle to take back our economy. So we're hoping that this legislation is a piece of it. So thanks a lot. You're doing great work. And please continue. Thank you.